Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
Seriously, if you want to relieve stress, go to the Word of God.
Oh my goodness. It's just so weird, isn't it? Do people say stuff like that?
I apologize for it.
Are you kidding me?
Let's all do baptism, and I have a little pool here, and we'll all feel nice and relaxed. That's baptism. No, baptism is a sacred Christian rite. All the various yogas are sacred Hindu rites.
Wake up, America!
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's do this.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
The mail is here!
Ooh! This is Wretched Radio.
You need to hit another gear in there, Todd?
I downshifted for you. I slowed down because you're walking around here like Tim Conway and like the old, I got it. I can only shuffle across the floor. You're the one who's in the low gear. What is the matter with you?
Well, you know what? I've got some sore spots.
You got hit by a car.
I feel like it. That's for sure.
Because?
I went to the gym. You know, I've been going to the gym this week. We talked about that earlier.
Every day?
Yes.
Well,
I didn't go this morning.
You were the one who's like, hey, I'm going to hit it really light. It's been a while since I've been in the gym. So I'm just going to. Every day?
Well, that's not hitting it hard.
So you did leg day, didn't you?
I did do leg day.
There it is right there. Never. See, that's why like no day is leg day. So Jimmy, we'll just try to keep it really slow for you. But I do have a gift. Because I care for you.
Another big word you'll learn in school.
Thank you. What's the word on the street?
Epsom salts. Epsom salts. Whatever those are. Please send stuff, but do it slowly to idea@wretched.org and text away questions, comments, conundrums, snarks to 877-282-2337.
All right, this is a question. We'll stay in the same realm from Anonymous, a text. Todd, I've always struggled with my weight, and I am considered obese. It's come up as an objection during witnessing encounters. And when something is that apparent, I'm wondering if I should forego witnessing unless and until I get my weight under control.
This is slightly tricky in that if there is something about our person that is off-putting and undermines our message, we need to assess if indeed that is the role we should be playing. The reason that I think weight is a little different is because it kind of depends. There's genetic disposition and there could indeed be just overeating and a lack of exercising. And then you drop 70 pounds out of the blue and then go back to the gym every single day. And then you can barely get from point A to point B in an hour and a half. I'm so sorry. I don't know where that came from. Why are you that overweight? Is it a sin issue? Is it a gluttony issue? Or is it a genetic disposition issue? And furthermore, we want to be careful. These arbitrary standards that have been set by medical professionals about who's overweight and body, all of that. God just makes us a lot differently. Look at me and Jimmy. Like, we are like totally different body types. And so you can't, this is that, and how does it fit on this person? So I think the distinction that you need to make is it genetic? Is it just something that's just the way that the Lord has made me? Then I don't think you need to feel guilty if you do not have the idol of food. Now, what if it's overeating? Should you stop witnessing if it isn't? You said that they're actually bringing it up as an objection?
Yeah, that's what he said, yes.
Okay. Well, then I think you've got an option. I think you could step aside for a bit until you start shedding some pounds or get on it. And if somebody brings it up while you're out witnessing, say, you know what? You're right. I've been sinning. I've been consuming too much food. I have not been as active as I think I should be. And so because of that, I've repented of that. And I'm on a diet plan right now. I've lost 8 pounds. Let's get back to whether you've lied or not. And then I think that I think it's up to you which way you go with it, but I don't think that you'd be sinning if you're getting on it and you can explain to somebody who maybe brings it up. Jimmy, you got anything else to add to that?
I think the way you laid it out, I would agree with. I would agree with it. I mean, the gospel, it's not about appearances inherently.
Of course not.
So you want to, you don't want to stop sharing the message of the gospel. I don't
think. No, but I do think there's other roles. Okay, so let's just say, for instance, I travel to the island of Boingo Boingo. The average height is 4 feet 2 inches. Mm. I'm like super freak. I'm just like, you're just the, and anytime I approach somebody, they actually think Goliath is stalking them. I might have to say, you know what? I'll have to play a different role in this evangelistic effort because it's undermining what we're actually trying to do here. Okay. I think that there's other, don't forget, somebody needs to hold the rope. It's not just the person who goes down the well. There's a way to hold the rope. You can support with prayer, transportation, getting the sound system set up, baking goodies to give away, getting gospel tracts, giving money to whatever, the gasoline, whatever is needed. There's other ways to participate in evangelism. And I don't say that to get us all off the hook of being ready to give a reason for the hope that lies within us and make every opportunity to actually share the gospel, make the most of that. But I do think that if you've got something about you that just, it doesn't, and I don't care whether it's weight, whether it's my huge nose, whatever it is, if people are bringing it up, I just want to be wise and maybe consider playing another role. But if you're going to get it under condition, under control, I personally would say keep witnessing, because if the person does bring it up, it actually could be a pretty powerful testimony. And if you're sitting at home, yeah, I think you miss that opportunity as long as you are indeed making an effort. And I do believe, may I have a testimony? Jimmy, dropping 70 pounds, you feeling any better?
Feel better than I've ever felt.
Well, with the exception of your hippity hop thing that you've got going on.
That's a good feint. That's a good
877-282-2337.
And this is from Anonymous. Todd, what would you recommend doing or how to deal with Mormon missionaries when they come to your door? Come on in, fellas.
If they'll come in.
That's right.
This is my take. I know other people they've actually prepared even some booklets for them. We don't have them here, but I know that there's materials for that. My experience is they will talk plenty and happily about Mormonism, but as soon as you start to press back and turn the table, they're trained to shut you down. Furthermore, they're better, by the way, than Jehovah's Witnesses, but nevertheless, they will engage to a degree. You start getting into the conversation and you are going to just go round and round and round. Now, some people would say do that because you can show them that Jesus Christ is not a created being. And you show that through revelation, the deity claims of Jesus Christ, the I am statements. Yeah, you can do that. And I say, rock on. My personal experience is I've never had a fruitful conversation with one of them when I've gone down that road. Not saying that there's a do not enter sign, but I'm not going down that road anymore. Instead, the key issue with the Mormons that I think that where you can actually make some headway is in their conscience. They're in a works-based system. That's why they're out there. You think these teenagers, they want to go live someplace away from their family for a couple of years and go out in this, dress like that, ride around in bicycles, have their doors slammed in their faces? Probably not many of them are all that thrilled about it. So if you engage them, you can bring that up. Hey, I know why you're out here. You're working. You're working your way to heaven, aren't you? Let me share something great with you. Jesus paid it all because he's God-man, Jesus Christ. His sacrifice pays for all of your sins, and you can bask in that grace and you can go to heaven. Not because of what you do on a missions trip or how many kids you have or how much money you give or the good deeds that you do, because you can't do enough because you still have a big old sin problem. So if you'd like to have your sins forgiven and live a life of joy, abundant joy, then I'd encourage you to find an actual Christian church where they teach the Bible and run out of Mormonism because it's a work-based system. Gotta go. Have a good day. Goodbye. And let it just hang on them. Or here's another one that I've also done is just pressed on the law. How good have you been? And you can press into all of the commandments. You can press into any sin that you want. How are you? What are you going to do with that? What's happening with that? How are you going to deal with that? Friend, you need a God man. You need a savior. You need Jesus Christ. And he's willing to forgive you, but you've got to lay down your work righteous system, surrender it and say, I've been wrong. I cannot work my way to heaven. I must rely on Jesus Christ. See, you got to go. Bye-bye. Take care. Because I want to leave it hanging with them. Two big thoughts. You ain't going to get there on your works, but Jesus will. That's my approach. That's my take. There are others. Please feel free. I'm not saying this is better. I'm just saying this is my experience. And these days, frankly, experience trumps everything. So I guess it is official, at least for me. Please send stuff to idea@wretched.org, whether it is a sermon, a story, an article, anything wretched. And text your questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks to 877-282-2337. This is Wretched Radio.
You know what I love about coffee? It's not just the first sip in the morning, though that's pretty great. It's that you can count on it. Every morning, it's there, ready to wake you up and get your day started. And that's exactly what we've built with the Fortis Plus app. It's your daily dose of biblical truth, ready when you are, completely free. Think about it. Every day, the culture is throwing lies at you faster than you can dodge them. Your kids are getting discipled by TikTok. Your marriage is under attack. And the world is telling you that up is down and wrong is right. But what if every day you had access to voices that would remind you what's actually true? Dr. John Krotz, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Adam Tyson, Jason Lyle, Dr. Andrew Walker, Libby Gloss, Dr. Greg Gifford, and others, all on Fortis Plus, where you're going to find hundreds of hours of content and new stuff being added daily, absolutely free. Look, you're already reaching for your phone first thing in the morning anyway. Why not make it count? Download Fortis Plus right now and start your day with truth instead of trash. It's free, it's biblical, and it's exactly what you need to stand strong in this brave new world. Fortis Plus at fortisplus.org.
Perhaps you've been wondering, is there a Christian university that isn't woke or that hasn't compromised on important biblical doctrines like, you know, the age of the earth? There is. It's the Masters University in Southern California, beautiful campus, all of the athletics and activities that you've come to expect from universities. But it's more than that. The academic programs are most excellent, preparing students for the future. The Washington Post just said, number six for preparing students for the real world. All that. Plus, the Masters University isn't woke, and it is thoroughly biblical. Would you like to learn more? I encourage you to visit the Masters University at masters.edu/wretched, masters.edu/wretched.
Thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. At Fortis Institute, we've assembled an incredible team of biblical voices who are equipping believers every day. Dr. John Krotz, Dr. Adam Tyson, Dr. Greg Gifford, Libby Glosson, Pastor Brad Bickney, Dr. Andrew Walker, Jason Lyle, Tim Challies, and of course, our very own Todd Friel. And their work has been invaluable in equipping believers because that's our mission. And the beautiful part, when you join us and link arms with us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner, your faithful giving doesn't just sit there. It multiplies into campus evangelism and biblical counseling, marriage restoration, and gospel proclamation across the globe. And speaking of equipping people, make sure you download Fortis Plus. It is completely free if you haven't downloaded it yet, and it is loaded with hundreds of hours of content, with new content added every single day. No cost, no catch, just solid biblical truth. Look, the fields are white for harvest, and your monthly partnership make it possible. Join us as an ongoing monthly gospel partner right now by visiting fortisinstitute.org. Wretched. Amazing grace, amazing gospel.
Revelation. Special revelation is God's act of making himself known through direct means. In history, God has spoken directly to people like Adam, Noah, Abraham, Moses, and the prophets. 2,000 years ago, he revealed himself in the person of Jesus Christ. Today, he reveals himself in his perfect word, the Bible.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Vengeance, it's such an ugly thing. This is Wretched Radio. You bust a guy's chops for going to the gym like a maniac after a 5-year sabbatical. And how does he respond? Oh, gratitude? Oh, no. Instead, during the break, he informs me there's a much better way to go about the business of witnessing to a Mormon and Jehovah's Witness. I hope you feel better with your Lex Talionis that you just did, right? Okay, so tell everybody about the Jehovah's Witness expert guy.
Yeah,
that actually engages with Jehovah's Witnesses.
So I have a friend back home in Tennessee. I guess this is my home now, but I have a friend back in Tennessee who his brother is a Jehovah's Witness, and he has become an expert in Jehovah's Witnesses because he tries to talk to his brother. So he wanted to learn their theology. And so I've been with him as people have pulled, Jehovah's Witnesses have pulled up, and he will engage with them as if he's interested. And he wants to talk with them about what they've got to talk about. And so he'll ask questions, and then they'll pull out their Jehovah's Witness Bible, the New World Translation, and explain to him. And then he'll ask another question, and they'll go to another verse, which completely contradicts what they just said. And like I told you, it's masterful to watch.
So there are other ways to do it. Yeah. I'm not saying how I deal with it. And personality type, what the knowledge that you possess. Look, if somebody like this fellow, Jimmy's friend.
Yeah.
Okay. Jimmy's got a friend, and this friend became an expert in Jehovah's Witnesses. I'd prefer not to. Just me, I'd prefer not to become an expert in Mormonism. I know enough to understand that it's the big essential problems with it, but I don't care to do that. So I think you've heard a number of ways to do it. Deal with the conscience. Let their work righteous system be a yoke around their neck and point them to Jesus, the God-man, he's the necessary one for forgiveness of sins, that the wrath of God would be satisfied and that we would have an actual human representative. It was necessary for him to be God-man Jesus Christ. And to point as emphatically as you can at him, you need the God-man Jesus Christ. I keep it that tight. You can do kind of the sword drill that Jimmy's talking about. I know there's people who do that, and they do it really, really well. You can give them literature. You can have things prepared for them. And if you choose to go about the business of going round and round and, you know, showing the deity of Jesus Christ in the Bible, that too is valid. I think it depends on personality. I think it depends on knowledge and just kind of what you sense in the moment. I was going to say, how you feel led by the Spirit. The problem with saying that is in Romans chapter 8, being led by the Spirit doesn't mean I got a feeling I should do it this way with these Mormon dudes at my door. Instead, to be led by the Spirit is you are living a life. The totality of your life is aimed in His direction. He's leading you, teaching you, convicting you. That's what it means to be led by the Spirit. Got a question, comment, conundrum, or snark? Please text 877-282-2337.
All right, this next question is from Pam. Todd, my pastor purchases sermons online from sermons.com.
Yeah.
He preaches.
Did you have to give out that address?
Well, I'm sorry. He preaches as if he wrote them without giving credit to the original author.
No.
Many think he's a great preacher. I see him as lazy and plagiaristic. Any advice?
Well, he could be lazy. He's definitely plagiarizing. Pray for your heart. Why does this bug you? And yes, it should bug you because this is not your shepherd crafting a message just for you. That's legitimate. You can even be upset. It's like, wow, look at the drift that we're seeing inside of it. I get that. And you can have that, but I think it also should have a component of, oh no, there must be something going on in my pastor's life that he would feel like he needs to lean into this and buy sermons and not give them credit. Oh, I wonder if he's okay. I wonder if there's any health issues. I wonder if he's somebody, told him that he needs to start going to this website, and he got a coupon and he got reeled in and a bunch of stuff came up and they're taking a trip to Greece. But your heart is concerned for him. Once you get to that place, now you can approach him and say, hey, pastor, I know you're buying sermons online. No, better yet, pastor, are you buying sermons online? Because now you want to be Socratic. You want to ask questions. That's being very Pauline. Is there a reason that you're doing that as opposed to doing the heavy lifting of crafting a sermon every single week? Are you okay? Is there a health issue? Something going on with the kids, grandkids? And approach it because you care for him. And you should be able to have that conversation. If he says, yeah, I've got no excuse. I just like doing it because it makes my preaching better. And then you can share with him why you don't think that it's making his preaching better. Because preaching has unction. Preaching has unction. And you can tell the difference. You just can't you? I think it was a quote from Martin Lloyd-Jones just last week. When a man enters a pulpit, you can tell if he's been with the Lord. You can tell if he understands his mission. You can tell if he's really been impacted by what he's about to present. And you can't get that from buying a sermon online. So, pastor, my encouragement is jettison those sermons. I'd rather hear a sermon from you for us that you did, even if it's not as good. It doesn't have the bells and whistles. I prefer that. I wanted to let you know. And see how he responds. If you approach him respectfully, out of concern, the conversation should go well. Should he refuse to, and for whatever reason, he doesn't have a health issue, a family issue. Nope, I'm just going to keep doing it because now I only have to spend like 40 minutes a week and I don't have to spend 14 hours getting that sermon ready and I can spend more time on the accounting at the church. Well, you would have some legitimate concerns about this being the man that is the shepherd of your soul. And you would want to start working through the process of considering, is that the ideal place for you? That should be done slowly, a number of steps involved. But depending on how that encounter goes, it might be something that you have to at least consider and seek a lot of wisdom on. Did I just do that like Donald Trump? That's my second time today. Because I watch one clip of Donald Trump and you just pick up his mannerisms. A lot of things, that the way that he talks. I've done it twice. Speaking of twice, I hate to speak ill of a church, but I'm going to. Community Bible Church in Beaufort. Two people thought I was Gavin Newsom. That is not acceptable, church. That is not the way that you treat somebody who comes to visit your church, calling them the Gavin News. Two people said that.
That's funny.
It's not. Well, sure, it's funny to you. Okay. You look like Nancy Pelosi. How do you like that, pal?
Well, that's not true. You could pass for Gavin Newsom.
I could not pass. Like, he has a spiritual gift for lying. Now, you have to ask yourself the question, of course, from whence does that spiritual gift come? Because it ain't God. 877. Oh, by the way, I think I did the wrong call letters for a Community Bible Church. Their radio station. It's WAGP. I think I gave the wrong call letters the other day when we were talking about him.
Okay.
There, it's a flamethrower of a station. That station just rocks. Because when we were driving in, we turned it on and it's like, there it is, crystal clear. It is a great ministry. It's a great church. Even though they called me Gavin Newsom twice. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Evan. Todd, when Christians sin, do we exit or break the covenant between God momentarily until we repent?
Let me just press into that because I've got a quick answer, but let me just try this instead of the answer. How many seconds do you think it's broken? How many minutes? Now, it's broken. What do you need to do to get it fixed? What work do you need to perform to get it unbroken? Uh-oh, suddenly we're in the realm of work righteousness. Suddenly we're in the realm of you're contributing to the maintenance of your salvation. And that is just simply anti-biblical. Your salvation is, the covenant is cut. It's done. When you got saved, there was a declaration that echoed throughout eternity that said, mine, you are hit, you're in. And you don't step out because you sin and then step back in because you, what, prayed, gave some money, witnessed to somebody, didn't watch pornography. What is it that, furthermore in the Bible, what prescription is given? I know it doesn't tell us how many seconds the covenant is broken because it doesn't say that, but where is the manual to help you know how to get it unbroken? You don't find that. Instead, what do you hear emphatically over and over and over again? If you are in Christ, nothing can separate you from the love of God. And Paul, list after list, neither trials, tribulation, persecution, temptation, nor height, nor width, nor depth, nor breadth, nor any other created thing can separate you from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Ain't that good news? This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for your daily Fortis News Break, a production of Fortis Institute. San Francisco District Judge Susan Von Ilston issued a temporary restraining order earlier this week preventing the administration from laying off federal employees during the government shutdown. The Clinton-appointed judge lectured that, quote, you can't do this in a nation of laws, which is pretty rich if you ask me, because the administration is following federal procedure by leaving operations to the Office of Management and Budget as prescribed by law. Speaking of creative legal interpretations, Los Angeles County just declared a state of emergency, but not over crime, homelessness, or their crumbling infrastructure. No, it was to help illegal aliens hide from ICE. The 4-1 vote by county supervisors gives them emergency powers to provide rent relief and financial assistance to people who are scared to go to work because immigration enforcement is actually doing its job. The Supreme Court recently heard arguments that may finally overturn the racial gerrymandering required by the Voting Rights Act of 1965. Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson defended the law by comparing Black Americans to disabled people needing wheelchair ramps, arguing, quote, they don't have equal access to the voting system. This is basically soft bigotry of low expectations on full display. The same thinking that says requiring voter ID is racist because Black Americans are supposedly too poor to visit the DMV. Well, religious freedom is under sustained attack across the globe. In Turkey, they've expelled over 200 foreign Christians and their families since 2020, branding them as national security threats. Many have lived in Turkey for decades, but between December last year and January alone, at least 35 new bans were issued. The Alliance Defending Freedom is supporting over 30 legal cases challenging the expulsions, including American citizens who lived legally in Turkey for over 30 years before being banned without evidence of any wrongdoing. The culture of death continues its grim march. Canada's now euthanized approximately 90,000 people since legalizing the practice in 2016, which is around 16,500 deaths in 2024 alone, which represents 5% of all deaths in the country. That's a 7.5% increase from the previous year. In Milwaukee, an abortion facility is holding a public contest to name their new vacuum aspirator. Care for All Community Clinic announced the contest on Instagram, asking for $10 donations with submissions and promising donors could tell everyone you named an abortion machine. And the culture of death doesn't take days off, does it? And that wraps up today's Fortis News Break. I'm Jimmy Hicks. If you want more, you can download Fortis Plus or sign up to become a Fortis Insider for exclusive daily content, both of which you can do right now at FortisInstitute.org. And don't forget, you can also subscribe to Fortis News on your favorite podcast app in order to get these updates daily. Also, rate and review Fortis News while you're there. That helps the algorithm or something. Also, makes me feel special. Just say nice things about me, please. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. One name is Jehovah Shalom, the God of peace. The fall brought conflict into the world, but through Christ, God has brought peace into the world. Peace with God, peace with man, and peace with self. true peace is only known in Christ. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Hello, Gavin Newsom here, filling in for Todd Friel on the Rush Limbaugh program. Welcome. If you would like to send chocolate to us, you can do that at chocolate@rushlimbaugh.org.
Can you send chocolate through email?
The point is,
what are you doing? Why are you lying?
Because that's what I do. This is Wretched Radio. Please send stuff, would you, huh? To idea, chocolate, not so much. idea@wretched.org. I wonder if somebody's done a sermon series on the difference between people who like chocolate, dark chocolate, and white chocolate. They used to call that bark. With or without almond. Do they still call it that?
I think so.
I'll bet that sermon series has been done.
I'm sure it has.
What type of chocolate are you? What Bible verse would they use for that? They probably go into Psalm 119 and somehow change the word honey to mean chocolate. And then they can preach the sermon series and all the graphics on. And everybody comes. And when you leave, you get the chocolate of your choice because we're the church. I'll bet. I'm telling you, as preposterous as you can conceive of a sermon series, it's probably been done. Please send stuff, actual stuff, to idea@wretched.org or text 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, both of my parents have committed adultery in some way.
Oh, no.
I fear that I'm condemned to the same fate and often live in fear of this. Could you please tell me about generational sins and curses and how God redeems us from them?
Yeah, you've got a choice to make. You've got a choice to make. You can choose the footsteps of your father and mother, or you can choose to walk in righteousness. You choose. You are not bound to it. You are not locked into a system of adultery. You are not in bondage somehow because your parents did that sin. You are your own responsible human being, and you've got choices to make. And you can simply commit right now, I am going to walk the road of righteousness. The path that I choose is different from theirs. I am not going to commit the sins of my father, which incident that the only reason that you are somehow associated with the sins of your parents is if you commit the same ones. But you're still just responsible for yours. They're responsible for theirs. And there isn't a generational curse that puts you into that box. Now, having said that, I do think that this is merely from observation that there are sins that we can have a propensity to commit if that was the environment in which we grew up. That it's not uncommon for the child of a drunkard to become a drunkard. I can't tell you why that happens other than, you imbibe, no pun intended. You drink in, oh, did it again. That you consume, oh, problematic. That you do the same things that you've been seeing your whole life. We do that all the time. We do it with the way that we fold towels, with the way that we talk, mannerisms and gestures. You pick it up. So you need to be aware that that might be an Achilles for you. But that by no means means that you're condemned to a life of adultery because that's what your parents did. 8772. In fact, let me just encourage you. See it like this. Be the first generation. It's got to start somewhere. Let it start with you. I always found that really helpful. I don't know why, but I did personally. And because, my family divorce is, let's just say it's not uncommon. And I just determined I'm just not going to do that. And when we're going to have an intact family and we're going to be as godly as we can possibly be for our kids. And we're going to model something totally different. And that kind of helped pull me up. And it kind of gave me a goal and a mountain to climb. Maybe it'll be helpful for you too. Jimmy, you got anything else on this?
No.
You don't have to follow in the sinful steps of your parents. There's nothing other than being aware it could be something that you're inclined to model simply because you were baked in that environment. 877-282-2337.
So I did something, Don.
Really?
I brought up the AI machine.
Yeah.
And told it I wanted to preach a sermon series on chocolate.
Okie dokie.
And this is what it told me. This is the title of my sermon series.
Okay.
The Gospel in Every Bite. We're going to start with Psalms 34:8.
Oh, no, we're not.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good.
Yes, it had everything to do with chocolate.
Yeah.
All right, what's the sermon outline? I got to know.
Oh, it didn't give me that.
Oh, ask for it. Give me the sermon outline.
Will it?
Okay. Oh, dude, it'll create marketing posters for you.
Wow.
There's emails. You just tell it what to do. And by the way, I've actually had to tell AI I'd had it. Because I know the game that they're playing. They affirm everything. And I just had to shut it. It's like, quit telling me my questions are profound. Stop it. And it did. Now it just gives me the answer. Furthermore, why you have to regularly scold it. I told you, I do not want quotes that you made up. I need a source and a reference. You got to be the master of your AI machine. Why is your face wincing as you stare at your screen?
So weird. All right. So taste and see. That's the name of this sermon, the title of this sermon. Here's the theme. Experiencing, not just knowing the goodness of God.
Okay.
Yeah. So after the introduction is the second point is the invitation.
What's the introduction? What does it have to do with chocolate?
It's the problem with secondhand sweetness is the introduction.
To give it to me. Give me everything you got.
You can describe chocolate all you want. Rich, smooth, sweet, but no amount of description can replace tasting it.
Yes. Yes. Every child gets a Hershey candy bar. Come to our church.
The world's empty flavors.
Yeah.
Counterfeit sweetness.
Yeah. You know, could a pastor use an illustration? I look, the illustration itself, it's like, okay, I agree with that. You can talk about food all day long. You can even smell food and go, but until you taste it, you don't know its goodness. And the same thing is true with God. Now, that is not an oral sensation. That's tasting him in that you listen to him. You study him. I'm going to use the word, experience him. That's tasting and seeing. Try his ways. They're always better. So can I see using an illustration like that? Like I personally wouldn't because it feels a little trite, but nothing wrong with that per se, but turning it into a sermon series and some just smashing chocolate in. All right, just for fun. All right.
Okay.
Let's test AI and see if because I was thinking we could pick something else, like a hamburger sermon series. No, kumquats. Let's make it work.
Okay.
First of all, we got to figure out what a kumquat is. Yeah. I'm not exactly sure. Kiwi fruit. Try a kiwi fruit sermon series.
All right.
The message will be delivered in a New Zealand voice. Oh, great. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I was married and my ex-husband cheated on me more than once. It's left me with some scars.
Yep.
How do I heal from this?
Yeah.
God's given me a desire to be in a marriage. Is it unbiblical to ask him to take this desire away?
Well, why do you want him to take it away?
She says she has trouble trusting and...
Oh, sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, you need healing. That's what you need. You need healing. And you need time, but you also need some intentionality. It's pretty easy to let yourself now be redefined by an experience or an event and then just kind of live in that because you become comfortable with that. My encouragement would be you've recognized that these propensities are present and you don't want them. What are you going to do to work toward evicting them? And then create a plan and enlist some help from godly people and work toward healing. Because, yeah, time can make stuff just kind of go away, but it never really heals the wound. Only God's word can ultimately do that. So be intentional. work toward it. Don't set arbitrary time limits on yourself where, okay, by this time, by the 4th of July, I am going to be ready to be married. Now, if you'd actually desire to be married, but you're lacking in trust, okay, again, let's heal from that. And then also, what might make you feel better and more confident is involve other people in the process of determining, is that a guy that I can actually trust? So the look, there is nothing. One of the biggest losses for the Gen Z millennial generation is they don't let their parents in on some of those decisions. And yeah, sometimes parents can give rotten advice, but let them in. Let your family, let your siblings in. They're going to see stuff and observe stuff that you can't because you're all dreamy and stuff. Let them in and you'll make a better decision and it should give you more confidence. And if none of that works, I know what will. A kiwi fruit sermon series.
Man, I got it.
Next on Wretched Radio. I was afraid of that.
You know what's annoying? Everyone acts like you should just automatically know how to be a man. Like it's supposed to be obvious or something. And then when you're struggling with temptation or you don't know what you're supposed to be doing with your life, they just say, hey, try harder, pray more. Yeah, I'll do that. Okay, thanks for nothing. Well, Dr. Adam Tyson is actually doing something. He's going to tell you the truth. A brand new Fortis Forum that you can find at fortisplus.org. 5 steps to becoming a man after God's own heart. Dr. Tyson's going to give you real answers from the Bible. Not cliches, not go figure it out for yourself, but actual steps that will tell you and teach you how to fight sin with scripture, how to live with purpose instead of just reacting to whatever happens. Here's the best part. He's going to start with the gospel, so you're not trying to earn God's approval. You're going to be living from his approval. It's on Fortis Plus on demand. You can watch whenever you want at Fortis Forum with Dr. Adam Tyson. And it's free because Fortis Plus is free. Hey, if you're tired of guessing what manhood looks like, just go watch it right now. FortisPlus.org. FortisPlus.org. Every night at 8 o'clock, the battle begins. Who gets the remote? What are we watching? How many cooking shows is too many cooking shows? Well, I've got news that'll bring peace to your living room. Fortis Plus just landed on your TV. Yeah, your actual television. Roku, Fire TV, Apple TV, even that smart TV you bought last year, and you still can't program. So instead of arguing over another reality show, you're watching Road Trip to Truth together on the couch. Your teenager might actually look up from their phone and your spouse might find something you both enjoy. Miracles do happen. Every video, every biblical resource you trust right there on the big screen for free. Why free? Well, because Gospel Partners believe truth should flow into every home. No subscription, no credit card, no guilt. Download Fortis Plus on your TV right now. Finally, something the whole family can agree on. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you actually felt something? Without fear, without shame, without immediately wanting to numb it. If you're living on autopilot, you're not alone. Millions are told the same thing. It's just a chemical imbalance. Hey, take this, you'll be fine. But you're not fine. You're numb. Here's the truth the world doesn't tell you. Your emotions, they're not the enemy. But they also shouldn't be your master either. Dr. Greg Gifford gets that, and his new series, Life Without the Numb, is available right now at fortisplus.org. It's a free 10-week series that shows how God's Word speaks into anxiety, depression, and emotional chaos, and it does so with clarity you've never heard before. New episodes every Monday, absolutely free at fortisplus.org. This isn't about ignoring struggles. It's about transformation from the inside out. Life Without the Numb. Watch at fortisplus.org. Stop surviving and start living.
Important dates in Christian history. 1456. Johann Gutenberg produces the first printed Bible, and his press becomes a means for dissemination of new ideas and catalyzing changes in politics and theology. Without the printing press, the Reformation may have looked very different. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Uh-oh, mate. Jimmy's a backslider. This is Wretched Radio. I cannot believe what you just told me. I challenged AI to write a kiwi fruit sermon series.
And it did.
And it did. And you said...
It's actually not that bad.
Yes, it is.
Well, it took something...
It has to be bad.
It took something ridiculous, which it recognizes, and it turned it into something that was not that bad. So it...
So what turned it into something not so bad?
The title is we could do without, but it the focus of the sermon series is Galatians 5, the fruit of the Spirit. And
sure.
It's each sermon is love, joy, peace. Each sermon is on one of the fruit of the Spirit.
So it's strawberries, bananas. Where does the kiwi fruit, which one of the fruits is that?
Exactly? I guess it was just the launching pad. The kiwi, because it doesn't mention it again.
Look, do I think that somebody is sinning if they title their sermon? What's the name of the title of this sermon series?
Inside Out.
What is it? Kiwi? What?
I don't know.
What fruit do you eat inside out? Is banana? Maybe. Because it's got a peel?
Yeah, probably.
But kiwi, inside out, I don't... Titles, I think, are... Titles speak more than what they're just announcing. There's a wide variety of titles that you can apply to a sermon. And it really depends on what you're trying to say. So if you come up, and by the way, this, I wouldn't make this an orthodoxy issue, but if you, in every week you're coming up with that's quippy. That's funny. What are you communicating with that? Oh, that's inside. Oh, I see. Inside Out. And it's a sermon series about belly buttons or something like that. I see what are you communicating? You're trying to be clever. You're trying to be cute. You're trying to be catchy. Doesn't necessarily mean you're being sinful. I'm just saying it does say something. Versus coming up with more of a Bible type of title. And you know what? I think that even those titles, sometimes they can be so dry or so esoteric sounding, or maybe so academic sounding. They're kind of like, meh. But there is a difference between, for instance, a sermon titled The Fruit God Wants to Produce in Your Life. That's different than Inside Out. Or just titling it The Fruit of the Spirit. Or it can even be something that is more intended to convict. Are you producing good fruit? Look, each of those, they kind of communicate, tonally, they communicate something different. So I think this Sunday at Alpharetta Bible Church, it's about the resurrection, because we're finally in Matthew chapter 28. Woohoo, we're getting to the finish line of Matthew. Although, I think I shared this, we're going to keep going with Matthew. Even though we're going to be wrapping up in 2 weeks, we're going to spend 3 weeks going back through the book of Matthew to see all of the threads in the tapestry of the beautiful image of our Savior. Oh, I'm actually looking forward to that. And so this is about promises. Last week it was proof sufficient. Okay, proof sufficient. That communicates something different than you can stake your life on this. No, is one of them wrong or right or wrong? That's not my point. My point is there are, I think, categories of titles, and every pastor should consider which category they want to be in based on what they're trying to communicate, because titles do speak. They send a message. If you look at these groups, okay, Jimmy, ask the AI machine for 10 really catchy titles, cool, hip, relevant titles about the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And let's just see what it comes up with that. Then we're going to ask it to come up with Bible titles for the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That encourages people that the resurrection is something that they can stake their life on. And it's going to sound hip. It might be catchy. It might be relevant. Versus, it's going to seem a little bit more serious. All right, what do you got for the 10 cool, hip, relevant resurrection sermon titles?
Death didn't stand a chance.
Okay.
The morning everything changed.
I
mean, these aren't really that.
No, they're not. I'm not looking for bad.
Grave robber.
Okay, don't get that.
The Stone That Preached.
Okay.
The Comeback No One Saw Coming.
Okay, there's a good example. The Comeback No One Saw Coming. Okay, that's not wrong. I wouldn't like poke a pastor in the eye for that. But now, Jimmy, put in, now give me the same subject, more biblical, more serious, not hip and relevant. And you just feel a difference, don't you? And you get a different, you go, okay, I think I know what this type of church is going to be about. I think I know what that sermon is going to be about, because they're just categories of titles. All right, what has the AI machine got on this one?
He is risen indeed.
Mm-hmm.
The firstborn from the dead.
Yep.
The death of death in the death of Christ.
Yep.
According to the scriptures.
Yep.
The living proof of a finished work.
Okay. That's different than what was one of the contemporary ones?
The king who crashed his own funeral.
Okay. Don't like that one, but you feel the difference.
Yeah.
Don't you? 877-282-2337 with questions, comments, conundrums, or snarks.
This is from Gabrielle. Todd, I understand that marriage is not merely a legal agreement, but rather a covenant that is an image of Christ's covenant with the church. In that light, would it be sinful to have a courthouse wedding?
No, no. That's what makes it that's what makes it legal in the government realm. What validates your marriage is God. You vow before God. You don't need the government for that. Sorry, I know this sounds weird. I wish we'd actually have a bigger national church conversation about the subject of marriage and who is the one that is the power behind the officiant of the service. By the power invested in me in the state of Georgia, say what? What? He's not an officer of the state. He's a minister of the gospel. And when two individuals with witnesses make a profession, a covenant commitment to one another, in the eyes of God, they're married. And then you can run off to the courthouse. If your government affords benefits for being married, there's nothing sinful about that. But I think we need to remember, it is far more important that we remember the priority of God being the one who, he's the one who really ultimately signs the paperwork, the certificate that says, you're married, till death do you part. Recall, go back in time. You maybe take a look at your grandparents' Bible. Look at the front. It's got pages in there that we've torn out years ago when the government got involved with marriage. Not necessarily a horrible thing. I'm not sure it's their job, but in an effort to produce people who want to be married because they know it's good for the social fabric of a society, they started to offer benefits. Okay. But before that, your marriage certificate was in your Bible. It had a marriage page and it had your name. It had your spouse's name. And then it had two witnesses and they signed this date. That's it. You're married. I think we should consider going back to that and then running off to the courthouse to call it something else. our legal agreement, our tax papers, because I think it is the church that should be the one that has the authority about marriage. Furthermore, just as a safety aside, it's going to protect you from the ongoing, never ceasing debate about marriage and should the church perform marriages and bake the cake and all of that business. It would put an end to all of that because we're not a member of the state. We're doing covenantal marriages here in the eyes of God, which frankly, in my opinion, more valid than what you will do down at City Hall. 877-282-2337.
All right, this is from Anonymous. Todd, I want to start memorizing scripture. Where do I start?
Study methods. Before you just dive in, or you hear somebody like me or somebody else say, well, this is how I do it. Find out how a lot of people do it, because you learn differently than most people. There's some that are your type or what, you know, whatever your brain type is and how it processes. But there's a number of ways to memorize Bible verses. And I would suggest compile all of them and then begin the process of figuring out which one is best for you. Because the way that I do it might not work for you. And the way that you do it might not work for Jimmy, and round we go. So figure out, what are all the tips? Use the AI machine. Ask Mr. AI, what are the 20 different methods that people use to efficiently memorize Bible? Jimmy, go ahead. Type that in there really quick. Give 20. We got time. Quit panicking. Your muscles aren't that sore. And when you find those methods, figure, you know what? I like doing that. I tried that one. It really worked. That's how I think you should go about the business of memorizing Bible verses. Did it pull up 20 methods?
It did.
And it's a wide variety.
It certainly used the read, write, recite method. Break it into phrases, speak it out loud, use repetition.
There you go. All of the different ways. Figure out which way works best for you. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.